$1 million worth of airplanes strapped to my ass.
Transmitters?
And the next generation radio content in my ears.
We don't need no stinking transmitter.
I like to think I'm flying into the future. Podcasting, it's Adam Curry.
Ladies and gentlemen, from hell.
Delta Sierra Charlie 303.
Was it hard? Was it hard to find that it loads? That it loads your mind? Did you take control with the vows that you broke? Was it so hard? Could you lose? How's it feel wearing shiny new shoes? You said
la 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 la.
You wasn't so high.
La 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 la.
Yeah.
Do 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 do. Shoes, you said.
Listening enjoyment by the Daily Source Code, PodSafe Music Network, Personal Shoppers. Lead Man, that's Lima Echo Delta. Drop the A for extra assumption. Was it hard, the title of that? Like that very much, and this is exactly the way it should be working. People sending me suggestions for songs to play off of the PodSafe Music Network. Exactly the way. Remember, I'm going to write a little letter, going to send it to my local DJ. Well, that's what we need, listeners. We need your help. That's from the PodSafe Music Network. Hey, everybody, how you doing? It's Thursday, coming to you from the cottage. It may be Friday or the weekend, wherever you are. And I didn't do a show yesterday. I was visiting my mom. Talk a little bit about that. Got, some promos, of course. Some classic audio on the way from Al Johnson. We're going to talk a bit about, we'll talk about our metrosexual stuff. About shaving, a couple more PodSafe tunes, including a Christmas tune on the way. Saving Trinity and biodiesel talk for tomorrow's show, I guess, along with some Blank Media stuff that I've been collecting. I've been using Omni Outliner on the Mac. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's an outlining program, and it's really convenient for putting my shows together. Because, you know, my show basically starts at the top and ends at the bottom of the list. And as I go along, I sometimes find myself changing stuff, moving stuff around. It kind of corresponds with what I'm doing in Megaseg, although there's a lot of manual intervention there, keeping both lists synchronized. Oh, man, wouldn't it be nice if Megaseg could import my my Omni Outliner file? Oh, my goodness. That would be fucking awesome. Anyway, it's cool because you can basically drag and drop MP3s into it, bookmarks for URLs, all this stuff, and it just becomes my console, if you will. Do you hear that? I got a... That's the radiator now. At first, I thought it was Roger Smalls going through my trash again, but no, it turns out the radiator at this point has so much air in it that it sounds like someone's dragging a milk carton across the pavement out in front of the cottage. A lot of racket. I gotta find the key to let the air out. So yesterday, big day. Went to see my mom, who, first of all, thank you all so much for all the wonderful emails that you've sent me, emails of support, encouragement, of hope, of prayer. It's really, really appreciated. And I mean, I've tried to respond. I started to respond to just about everyone who sent something in. There's so much. I'm sorry if I missed yours, but I really appreciate it. We'll get to the whole cancer thing in a moment. Let me take the day step by step because it was quite a roller coaster ride, actually. First of all, the wing commander stayed overnight, so we had an early start. Well, when you have two women in the house, an early start is basically leaving within 30 minutes of your estimated time of departure. You're doing pretty good. We drove off to Fair Oaks, to the airport. We were there around, I wanted to be there around 8:30. We were there around 9 o'clock. So I got everything. We were already pre-fueled. Everything was ready to go. Just went up to the tower to make sure we had everything all set, and our flight plan was filed. Also, just to say hi, you know, it's a small local airfield, so I kind of drop in and be social for a couple of minutes. And then we took off. It wasn't a brilliant day, but flying at, what did we do? We were around 3,000 feet. It was nice between broken clouds above us around 4,500 feet and a cloud cover below us. Now, I don't have an instrument rating. I am training for my instrument rating. So we do a lot of work in the plane on these types of flights, the wing commander and I. And he gives me all kinds of stuff to do. And now we're not flying on a visual GPS, you know, with a nice screen or anything. None of that stuff is... I do have a GPS, but it's a very, very basic system, just basically with a text readout. But most of the training that you do for instruments is, well, guess what? Flying on instruments, which includes tuning in VORs, so you can basically vector where you are and being able to hold altitude and your direction while essentially being in complete cloud cover, which is a very weird sensation. I mean, that's really, we've talked about this before. They call it kind of the leans, where you'll be flying, and if you look outside, and of course you see nothing but white around you, you know that you're moving, but you can't see anything. It becomes like a really interesting Disney type park ride. And you'll think, well, wait a minute, the plane is going right, and I should be, your body almost starts leaning left or vice versa, and you want to turn, and then you look at your instruments, and you see that the attitude of the airplane is doing something completely different than what you thought it was doing. Now, we have an autopilot in the machine, but when you're doing these exercises, really, you know, doing it all by hand is what it's about, so... mostly it was all clear, smooth sailing until we got up to Rotterdam, where the cover was at like 600 feet. So it was a complete IFR approach, instrument flying rules, which I did by hand. And at the same time, I had kind of a panic-stricken passenger in the back. Christina started to freak out because, both the girls had elected not to wear headsets. And I think that when you're not hearing what's going on and you're not seeing anything, because you look out, you know, and it's like, you know, think about me having the leans. How about the passengers who aren't used to it? Because you can, not only can you see out the left and the right-hand side, but you can look out in front. And that's something you can't do on a jetliner. So it's very confusing. Christina was definitely, you know, uneasy. Which made me, of course, all that more uneasy. But we vectored all the way down, and it was awesome. I mean, doing it by hand, there's Whew, there's a lot to it. Long live the GPS that slaves to the autopilot, I say. But fun to do. Really, really fun to just drop out of the clouds and all of a sudden, boom, there it is, Rotterdam Airport right in front of you. And that's nicely lit. It's a huge airport where, you know, big jets come in. Not 747s, but, you know, vacation-like 727s. I think 737s can make it in. Nice long runway. And so, you know, that was really good. And completed the landing and went into the jet center because you can't just land at the airport anymore. You have to have a handling agent. So it costs like, you know, $300 to fucking be handled, which means they pick you up from your plane with an umbrella, take you into where you pay, and then shuttle you out the back. And if you want, you can get a cup of coffee. Big deal. But nice enough folks there. So then we went to my mom's house. It was exactly 1 year ago this week that I was in Utrecht for just before and just after the holidays, where my mom was scheduled to have a lung removed due to lung cancer. And this was all podcast back in the day, those of you who are just tuning into the Daily Source Code. And I was podcasting from the hotel room. It was a weird, a very weird Christmas. And she survived, you know, of the 15% of people who survived that and are declared cancer-free, she made it. But throughout the year, she's had another flare-up, but not in her, quote, crucial organs, but in on her side, a tumor which was removed. And now there's some more cell activity going on there. And if anything, it's fear. You know, that's what's really freaking everybody out. It's the unknown. It's not knowing what we're at, what we're up against. And I must say, having all the emails to support really really helps. You feel all of a sudden you feel a lot less alone, and you also realize how big this problem is. It's so fucking medieval. that's what struck me this morning when I woke up is, you know, to see someone sick, but it actually, you know, I don't want to use the word wilting away, but you can see it. You know, you can see when something's it's literally eating at you, and it's like medieval, man. It's like the, you know, like with all the technology we have, it seems so unbelievable that there's no fucking magic pill or something. And, you know, this is really the only case in our immediate family and friend, you know, surroundings that we've witnessed this. And of course it to be this close is a major bummer. But, you know, mom's positive. She really is. But she's really afraid. And she's tired of it. You know, she's tired of this fighting the whole year. And now it just has to continue. So my sisters and I are, you know, going to go at it full speed. Going to support her. And unfortunately, Tiffany, my oldest sister, who is 2 years younger than I am, she lives in Holland. So she, of course, is the closest in proximity. Willow, my younger sister, who is 4 years younger than I, she lives in Italy. So, yeah, and of course, I'm shuttling back and forth between here and San Francisco. So I'm pretty sure that we're going to get our instrument rating very quickly so that when I am back here, I can just make quick day trips to go and see mom. Because the Rotterdam Airport is really, it's very conveniently located to where she lives, only a half hour by cab. And actually, we called Taxi Eric, T to the E, to come pick us up. So and he was there last year when my mom went in the hospital. So It was a good hang. You know, we had fun. We laughed. My sister came down, so that was a lot of fun. And Bob, my mom's new husband, who she got married to a couple of years ago, you know, he, of course, took the day off. And it was really good. It was just a couple hours, but it was, you know, enough to really raise her spirits. And so that was cool. So humbled by all of that, back to the airport. And I wanted to make it back before dark. Now, of course, we were running a little late. Now, this was not a problem, even though the wing commander couldn't come with me. We had Roy, who is actually my IFR, my instrument instructor. And I'd never flown with Roy before. You know, we'd done all kinds of other ground classes together. But he is the absolute king of instrument flying in the Netherlands and Belgium. He's just awesome. He's rated on everything, can fly everything. And he's a nerd, you know. He works like Ericsson or something, doing, you know, something really high tech on the mobile networks. I'm not quite sure, but you know, he's got a flight sim at home with multi screens. And so we flew home. It was beautiful. It was, you know, the sun was set. We were flying into the sunset, if you will. So, you know, just trying to basically catch up with the sun as it was setting. It was so smooth sailing. It was like we were on a cable car almost. It was so beautiful. Could trim the plane, you know, perfectly. Hands off most of the time, just looking at the surroundings, talking with Roy about stuff. So it was great. By the time we reached the coast of Dover, though, the sun had set, and it was about 4 p.m. Local time. And we knew we were going to be making an approach in the dark, which neither of us had ever done at Fair Oaks, which has a reasonably short strip, actually. And although they're open until 6, and they do have the runway lit, I think there's a difference between a runway that's lit, you know, like having seen Rotterdam Airport, where the center line is a row of lights, and there's just lights everywhere. You know, it's a beautiful sight. We actually passed over the airport once because we couldn't even see it. Then we saw the runway, and well, it was like they had some streetlights on casting some kind of glow onto it, but you know, no center line, just basically two rows of white lights, and land in between there somewhere, if you don't mind. And all of a sudden, there was a lot of activity. There were people doing touch and goes in the dark. People coming in who would, you know, were kind of doing the same thing that we were doing. I would say probably one of the most dangerous times at a small airfield, or maybe any airfield, is around this time when people are, you know, kind of rushing to get home, or maybe they just got caught in the dark. Now, the experience, we had the experience on board, so I was not worried at all. But we did, so we actually did one go around, as, you know, we were like third in row for landing. And the guy right in front of us really was slow getting in. We were much faster aircraft, and we were hanging everything out to slow us down, gear down, flaps down, everything. And so we actually had to go around because he wasn't getting off the runway fast enough. So, you know, did another pass. That was actually good because then I got a lot better feel for the situation of where I was, and I could actually recall now, because of course I've done landings there, at, you know, what the base and the final leg should feel like. Still came in high, which is really cool because even though there's, you know, the runway is lit like shit, the basic principle of too red, you're dead, too white, you're too high, and white and red, you know, is just, or red and white is just right, or whatever the, whatever way you're supposed to remember that. So I could pick up the glide path, but we were going, definitely doing 80 knots. That was too fast, put in full flaps, and, you know, really the when you do full flaps on an aircraft like that, it becomes a whole different type of machine, and it's almost like your Batman wings have inflated and you're kind of coasting down. But add to that the depth perception. We definitely landed about almost halfway up the runway, which at the speed we had was really too fast for the amount of runway we had left. In fact, I said to Roy, I said, "Dude, we're going to run out of runway," and we both started working the brakes and. That was a tense moment. It definitely got a little bit exciting there with wheels locking up, which, of course, completely ruins the tires. I need two new tires now. But we stopped before the end of the runway. But it was one of those experiences that you're glad you had someone really experienced next to you so that you know that you're not just an idiot, but this is how it also sometimes can go. I don't know. I was like, okay, we're back. The whole day really drained me completely. And, that's why I didn't do a show, yesterday. Anyway, so only positive vibes, ladies and gentlemen. That's the best thing we've got going for us. Just a couple more things that, I wanted to hit on here. I got a link to a piece of video from the Hawaiian Association of Podcasters. Who just had a meeting the other day up in, I don't know where in Hawaii. And it's really cool because the video, and, you know, some of the people are talking and they met at this great restaurant, great food. And they had that all in video. But really what was cool is they were talking about what it felt to me like is that the podcasters in Hawaii, you know, finally they're able to free themselves and spread some of their culture, which is, there is a definite culture happening in Hawaii. Local news, local music, and they're able to spread that around now, you know, because, you know, really there was no economic model, particularly on the cost side, to get that stuff out. And it's really nice to see that. And I think we're going to see more of these really locations that, just because the economic model of installing broadcast infrastructure would never allow that culture to flow out. Now that's starting to happen. You know, I can't wait to see that happen, for example, in Jamaica. That's going to be freaking awesome. Thank you all very much for answering my questions about the television series Lost.
Hey, Adam, this is Logan calling it in from Fresno, California, home of the Misnomer podcast, misnomer.libsyn.com. Just want to let you know, from one Lost fanatic to another, that the show is on hiatus like a lot of other TV shows to line up for May sweeps. It definitely sucks, but that's how network television people do it. Maybe when TV shows become podcast only, we won't have to deal with this kind of junk. Don't fret, though, we're only halfway through the series, so once the hiatus is over with, they say January 11th, there should be about 15 more episodes, give or take. Anyway, just wanted to help a fellow Lost addict out. Love the source code, I listen every day. It's like opening up a Christmas gift 5 days a week. Well, catch you later.
Well, thank you. Or as Matt Snodgrass would say, Adam, come on, man, you were in the TV biz. You know that they're on break of new episodes, fall like November sweeps. They'll probably tease you with some new episodes in late January and then back full-time for February sweeps. This is also so the networks can put out the mid-season replacements. Yeah, of course, during this time. What are the mid-season replacements this year? I have not been following that at all. But I definitely missed Lost. And it just, you know, goes to show that, you know, what an opportunity here to attach or to, first of all, to make the episodes of Lost for pay. That's fine. Make it a podcast so I, you know, it'll just show up. And if you know there's going to be a 2 or 3 week hiatus, put something else in there. Put something cool in the feed to tide me over, you know. God, the needle's in, you pull it out, you're going to jam it back in. That really sucks. Hey, man, we don't stop at Christmas time. Shoot. Oh, man, I wanted to do this. Unfortunately, it doesn't work on UK cell phones, and I only have UK Skype in numbers. But someone sent me this link. I'll figure out how to put that together for tomorrow's show. It'll be great. Where you can get a phone call from Sir Richard Branson. Which is completely assembled audio based upon what you entered. It's really only for travel agents, and it's kind of like an incentive call from Sir Richard. And someone sent it to me, and I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." So I filled out my U.S. cell number, and lo and behold, within like 4 minutes, it rang, and it was Sir Richard Branson with a personalized message for me. So I want to get that rolling for tomorrow. It's just that you know, I don't have telephone recording equipment. I can do it through Skype, but you couldn't enter anything but a U.S. phone number. So let that be a tease for you for tomorrow's Thank God It's Friday edition. Just wanted to mention some things that are happening on Sirius. This is pretty much this stuff couldn't happen on any other venue than satellite radio. Sirius is a press release that I got from Elise Brown, who's also our press contact over there. She says that Sirius Satellite Radio will broadcast Christmas Masses live from St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York. And what I like about this is, you know, there's obviously no commercial model, which is why I don't think any terrestrial radio broadcasts a mass. Well, certainly not I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think they're doing that in New York. You know, the time has just become so incredibly precious and every single minute has to be sold. And here's Sirius, who has you know, arguably enough bandwidth, and they're just, what channel are they doing it on? Let me see. Sirius Channel 86. What is that normally? Certainly they have something. I wonder what Channel 86. Maybe that's just one of those channels that's kind of empty. Anyway, if you're listening to this podcast on Sirius Satellite Radio, you've heard me say this before. We've got a 24-minute and 30-second window, and we're about to close that. So that we can get on with all the real cool stuff, right? Which you guys got to tune out. The podcast continues. So Pacific Coast Hellway is next, followed by Yeast Radio, followed by Dawn and Drew, and we take it on up until 10 o'clock with some PodSafe music as well. Still to come here on the podcast, as I said, we've got some rare audio of Al Jolson. Why did I say Johnson? Al Jolson, and some history there. Which, particularly this holiday season, you might be interested in. We're going to talk a little bit about some more shaving. It's unbelievable. It's not all of a sudden I'm the epicenter for all things shaving, but it seems like there's a lot of different information and thoughts and theories on what gives you the best, the closest, and the most valuable shave. And it's not necessarily what the company, what the shaving kit manufacturers are telling us. And we've also got two new PodSafe music tunes coming up on the way. So that's still to come. Man, I'm really beat today. I feel so incredibly tired. All right, everybody, we're going to do this same thing we do every single day around this time. Raise your right hand. If you're in traffic, hold on to the steering wheel with your left. Okay. And wave goodbye to all those satellite listeners so we can get on with the podcast. Bye, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on the Friday show. And for you, I got some cool shit you can listen to on your own time.
The Z and Z Show. Commentary, stories, musings, and observations from Ross and Karen, a sarcastic American and a wry Canadian joined in cross-border matrimony.
We are friends.
I gotta burn my butt.
What? I don't like the way that sounds.
Toronto, my hometown, which I miss and love.
Can we have your hair?
We sicken him and he's disappointed in us. I swear, like a longshoreman at a hooker convention.
You're just gonna show up at his grave and drop trowel and let it go?
Does raw meat creep you out?
Ross and I should shut up. Like, you drink wine out of a box and all of a sudden you have standards. I don't know.
Yeah. Would you sign my wood?
American-Canadian differences.
Oh my god.
Well,
what's our damage?
Well,
and there you go. That's why we love Target. Yet again.
And we're not sponsored by Target.
No. Am I the only one, or is Bob the Builder kind of pornographic?
I like the union suit. I think it's cool.
Well, by the time the cops got out of Tim Hortons and made it to our door...
The Z and Z Show. We're not curing cancer here. We're just podcasting. What do you want for nothing? ZNZ.blogspot.com.
BeyondSciencePodcast.com.
Space exploration.
The European Space Agency sent some lichens into space. It didn't kill them.
Paranormal phenomena.
It's called the coming great deception or the Luciferian endgame.
Nanotechnology.
And carbon nanofibers or nanotubes make a cable that can literally reach tens of thousands of miles.
Alien abduction.
The alien gospel is simply this, that we, the aliens, are your progenitors.
Journey into the unknown. Travel through time, the past, the future. Unleash your mind beyond science. BeyondSciencePodcast.com.
Hello? Hello, can anyone hear me? This is Captain Corval of the United Defense Force. My ship's been disabled, and I'm adrift in the shadow of one of Neptune's moons. If anyone is receiving this transmission, please get it to UDF Command as fast as possible. Confirm the presence of Tarthet invasion forces currently inbound to the homeworld, and they are not tiptoeing in. Their ships number in the hundreds, and they're impossibly huge. I don't think they're coming to shake hands, people. They're loaded to take us out.
Our homeworld is in ruins. Our future is in doubt.
Guys, we're just not strong enough.
This will be a battle unlike any in our history, and its outcome will decide who are the chosen ones. We are all children of creation, but which of us are the children of the gods?
Fight for survival at childrenofthegods.net.
Do you believe anything is possible? We do. We're Earthlink.
We believe in an internet that's safe from viruses and scammers. We're Earthlink.
We believe your personal information should be just that, personal. And we believe your internet should be a friend, not a foe. We're Earthlink.
Make the smart choice. Visit earthlink.net and discover what our internet experts can do for you. Earthlink. We revolve around you.
Okay, so I don't have a partner on my show where I talk about our sex lives. I haven't taken a dump and talked about it. I haven't dumped in my tank to get my car to run. I haven't put my grandma in her tank. I haven't talked about how I'm going to shave tomorrow. But I have talked to many great independent musicians in Southwest Ohio, where they talk about their songs, their music, and what it takes to get their stuff to you. Join us on the Miami Valley Music Cast, miamivalleymusiccast.com, and our promos are under 30 seconds.
Excellent, Rich. Thanks. Hey, about that Earthlink spot. Oops, what I just got. Oh, hold on a second. That's Crystal. Hold on a second. I'm in show on Het Doen Belje Zo. That's my PA, my Dutch PA who now lives in Switzerland.
And we had a talk scheduled for today. Okay, go away, Crystal. Great, thank you. About the Earthling spot. Now, I personally think we're onto such an... yes, Crystal. Okay. I personally think we're on something really onto something really important here and something really good as we work on changing what advertising means. I have three different user-generated commercials about Earthlink, people who actually like their service or have used their service in the past. And I really want to use those instead of the cookie cutter, you know, like 30-second commercial. And, well, unfortunately, now with Christmas time, it's very hard to get a hold of people. But I am really working on getting together with this advertiser and talking to them about the possibilities and hopefully being able to, you know, get some trials going and track some of this stuff. Because I really do believe that it's much more powerful to have your customers make your commercials than it is for you to make the commercials. It's just a thought, you know. By the way, even though they were completely produced, that's what Apple did with their, with their Switch commercials or whatever. And you know what? So people start to parry to them too. That's great. You know, anyway, so I'm working on that just so you know. There was one more, there was a promo that didn't get into that lineup for some reason. Actually, I know why, because I put it in the wrong place. But this is something that we talked about the other day on the Source Code, and already there's a promo ready to roll. I think that it's a piece of art that you're going to like to listen to this Christmas.
Hey, everybody. This is the C-Dog, Chris Daly. I want to welcome you to the feed for the upcoming podcast, Christmas Carol.
Oh, shut up. Oh, man, I really messed that up. Sorry, I didn't mean to say shut up, but I just got really frustrated there. Okay, that was the seed. We don't want the damn seed. Where is it? Oh, God. Oh, no. I'm never going to be able to find this. It's the... what I'm looking for here is the podcast Christmas Carol. Maybe I can... Oh, man, I shouldn't have subscribed to that feed in iTunes. Oh, here it is. Podcast Christmas Carol. Don't tell me I have to... Isn't that the one? Isn't that exactly what I just played? Let me try it. Hold on.
Hey, everybody, this...
Shit. Maybe it comes later on. I don't know.
Let me see. Didn't want to give... We have finally... To cast...
Blow me! Okay. Let me go look for that. I'm going to play a song. And while that's playing, I'll go look and see if I can find the right audio. It was a great fucking promo, too. I can't believe that I misplaced it. Wait a minute. Let me check over here. Shit. Okay. I don't want to take up any more of your time. An email that came to me from my partner and co-founder, Ron Bloom. Turns out, well, let me read what he sent to me. Al Jolson, the star of the first talking movie, or talkie, was a famous and infamous artist. I don't know if you can be famous and infamous at the same time. He was originally a cantor, and then became a vaudeville pop singer and starred in the first talking picture, The Jazz Singer. Here's a bit of history for you. Now, it turns out that Al Jolson is Ron's cousin on his mom's side, and she circulated an email... bless her heart. She circulated an email with a file to a whole bunch of members of the Bloom family. And this is where he sings the Israeli national anthem. As Ron writes, he was later also ostracized for being a white person, quote, in parentheses, a Jew, playing a black person in blackface. So Ron thought it might be interesting to give this a spin, going along with the following article. So that he enclosed this article from the American Film Institute about the Jazz Singer. And it really is a fascinating story. And what's really fascinating is, you know, the change that that the industry underwent, and actually the movie studios tried to build a cartel to lock people, check this out, to lock people into certain sound formats so that they really had, you know, a duopoly on talking movies, and how people laughed and said it would never happen and it wasn't worth it and people weren't interested. That's just fascinating reading. So I'll if we can't get a link to wherever that information is from, I'll drop the whole piece into the show notes. And again, can I just thank everybody for maintaining those show notes? Man, wikis really do rule in some cases. So check this out. It's some pretty rare audio. It's about 3 minutes of Al Jolson singing the Israeli national anthem.
Kolod balevav pnimo nefesh yehudi om
It needs more cowbell, but otherwise very pretty, very very pretty song. And I didn't recognize it at all. I'm sure that I've heard it during some Olympic award ceremony, but no, it's hard to recognize national anthems. You know, I want to read this piece anyway from the American Film Institute because it so pertains to what's going on now in media with podcasting and all forms of media, really. So just bear with me. In 1910, the richest studios formed a rather cutthroat oligopoly. Hey, Polly, where you going? To the Ollie. The Motion Pictures Patents Company, or The Trust, as it was known. Isn't that great? Great name. The Trust. Ostensibly to standardize the technological guts of filmmaking. In actuality, their pooled exclusive patents essentially locked others out of the market. Gotta love it. When Warner Brothers gambled that talkies would be popular with viewers by offering the first bit of synchronized speech to the jazz singer, a period of turmoil blanketed the film industry. Studios now had proof that a talkie could make them money. But the financial investment this kind of filmmaking would require, from new camera equipment to new projection facilities, made the studios initially hesitant to invest. In the end, the power of cinematic sound to both movie audiences and to enhance the story persuaded studios that talkies were worth the investment. When vaudeville singing star Al Jolson introduced a tune with "Wait a Minute," You ain't heard nothing yet. Audiences shrieked in delight. From that moment on, there didn't seem to be any going back to the days of silent film. And I think that's what we're seeing now with media. Now that we've gone beyond text and pictures, although they're still very powerful and very important and definitely a part of the entire media mashup, the entire mix, it's fascinating to see, you know, just to understand some of the genesis of how all that stuff was put together. And then look at guys like Mark Cuban, you know, who I don't think, you know, I'm not a a Mark Cuban disciple. I don't know if he's particularly that brilliant, but he does go balls to the wall and he's making shit happen. And he is definitely breaking apart some of the hallowed pieces of industry, you know, when it comes to distribution. So that would be printing of movie reels versus digital distribution, and basically showing them on big screens on big digital screens in theaters. I mean, that's some amazing stuff. And then also, you know, think about the web as when the web got talkies, and we had it for a long time, but you know, sometimes stuff just blows up at a certain moment, and then there it is. Here we are, podcasting, video podcasting, which I think is also going faster than even I thought. I don't know if there's a monetization model for video podcasting just yet, but screw it. This is too much fun. There's some great video podcasts out there. And we're definitely going to be incorporating that into our pod show strategy, which, of course, with yesterday's trip and shit that's been going on, Ron and I haven't really had time to align yet. But if you haven't heard, you should really listen to that podcast that I linked to from curry.com, the Mad Pod. One of the analysts, I think it's Mike, talks about the discussion that we had when he came to our analyst presentation at Pod Show. I think that he's pretty clear on a lot of points there. And besides the fact that he got most of it right, I like his enthusiasm. But we will put that that strategy cast together. I haven't gotten a lot of really amazing questions, quite honestly, through the strategycast at podshow.com email address. And you can just attach your question to your email. I'm kind of underwhelmed, which I guess means either no one cares, no one has any questions, or maybe we're just right on, you know, and people are just ready for it to happen. The team is working, and we have, and this is no secret, we have a group of about 30 podcasters who are being brought into the network, and that's from all sides. That's you being able to use the PDN, the Podcast Delivery Network, which we've partnered. I think I can just tell you, it's no secret. Well, you know what? We'll make it a guessing game. Tell me who we're partnering. You can already tell if you're technical, and you dig down deep and take a look at where my podcasts are coming from, my MP3 files at least, you can really figure out pretty quickly who we're partnered with, and I think you'll agree that it's world class. Those people will also immediately participate in our revenue program, and believe me, we're approaching this in a very different way than has been done so far, and it's a different offering from what other people are offering. We're offering to actually pay people up front, you know, which I think is probably a much nicer way of working. You know, you're guaranteed to make money whether we sell advertising or not. But make no mistake, it's based on advertising, and that's the stuff. That's the next step. That's what I want to work with our network with, is to figure out, you know, what is advertising in podcasting? You know, I don't think it's only, you know, splitting, you know, inserting ads. You know, it's got to be something much more exciting than that, because the opportunity is just huge. I think some of those user-generated ads definitely are part of what it's all about. And just look at the power that we've got, ladies and gentlemen. I was able to find the promo.
Every year, on a special winter day, little podcaster girls and boys wake up early to find something special in their iPods. Little do they know how close they came to losing it all.
Ah, humbug!
The podcast community presents A Podcast Christmas Carol. A special adaptation of Charles Dickens' classic tale of broadcast mogul Ebenezer Scrooge.
Indeed.
And the visitation of three ghosts on Christmas Eve.
And I suppose you expect me to just play this little promo for free.
Visit apodcastchristmascarol.com and listen as Scrooge is shown his tragic future and learns to share the spirit of the Christmas season.
Go start your own radio station.
Ah! A Podcast Christmas Carol, featuring talents from the podcasting community, including Adam Curry,
Senseo,
Leo Laporte, and starring David Lawrence as Ebenezer Scrooge. Visit apodcastchristmascarol.com.
the future is just around the corner.
I play Marley. I think it was like a last minute, well, we should probably invite you. And it turned into me scrambling to make the deadline. I'm happy I did it. I can't wait to hear how it turns out. The promo is fantastic. Now, is that being released on Christmas? Is that what I was to understand in the promo? Which is a shame. I'd rather have it, like now. Let's get this out, man. I can't wait to hear this. Must have been a whole shitload of people who worked on it. I saw the, what is it? They have a website. Yeah, if you go to the website, you can see all the names. Lots of podcasters all participating in this. And already I'm seeing on Podcast Pickle, where this originated, I believe, people saying, oh, I didn't get invited. It's an exclusive club. You just can't win. It's Christmas, people. Come on. And to prove it, by request from the Rad Dudes themselves, it's Christmas in Malibu. I think we're going to make this an extra long source code. I have so much more to share with you.
Beaches are bare. Ain't no one there. Everyone's home, presents to share. Christmas is here. No reason to cheer. Broke my cord on a rock. Ran out of beer. Sudden rise of the tide. Then out of the northern sky comes a sled. It lands on a swell. Guess who's inside?
Saint Nick and his elves. Wetsuits off the shelves. It's the one day of year. They get the waves to themselves.
Start rolling in. A gift just for me from Saint Nick.
Perfect waves I can ride on my own.
The true Christmas spirit that I never knew. And then from the clouds came a jolly deep voice that said,
"Surf's up, dude. Ho, ho, ho."
From 1988, the Rad Dudes, Christmas in Malibu. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, when we arrived last night, there was a guy standing at the gate, and of course I've immediately forgotten his name. I'm so horrible with names. And he said, hey, Adam, this must be Patricia. This must be Christina. And he thought that Roy was the wing commander. Of course, he wasn't the wing commander. This guy listens to the show every single day. And he has an office at the airfield. And he said, hey, you can use my Wi-Fi whenever you want. If you want to come in, have a cup of tea. It was so nice. It really is. It's amazing how these podcasts get around, I'll tell you. A couple other pieces of mail that we'll just go through. I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to make it. Let's see if we can make it up to an hour for today, since I missed yesterday. This is from Ofer Benari from Orange County, California. During DSC 300, you mentioned in passing wanting to do something special for DSC 500. No one has picked up the ball to suggest or plan anything yet. Well, Adam, I'm starting the ball rolling. How about 500 podcasters and 500 PodSafe musicians or groups doing a live battle of the bands at a venue where we can all celebrate this occasion? I'm thinking a classic venue where music history has been made. I'm thinking the Hollywood Bowl. Adam, what do you think of celebrating podcasting's coming out party at the Hollywood Bowl next summer? We'll need to start logistics on this ASAP, but I think it can be done. Okay. I don't know what the Hollywood Bowl costs, but if we could do it, of course I'm game. You know, if we could turn it into some kind of awesome promotion, then I can get a budget for it. I'm pretty sure. 500 PodSafe artists. You know, I don't know. I mean, how long is this celebration going to be? Through episode number 509 or something like that?
Hey, Adam, Joseph Jaffe here with Across the Sound. Thank you for playing our promo yesterday on DSC 301. The reason why I am sending you this little soundbite is last night, well, it would be tonight when I'm recording this, I'm watching the like bullshit Radio Music Awards on television. Okay, first of all, you know, does anybody detect the irony here? It's the Radio Music Awards on television. They're so damn insecure with their medium that they have to resort to television. Why the hell should the Radio Music Awards not be on the radio? I mean, it's just beyond me. But anyway, I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to play it rather crudely from the television set, thanks to my TiVo. I want you to hear what Steve Harvey had to say, so I'm going to play you the soundbite right now.
Here to present the award for Urban Rhythmic Radio Song of the Year is Steve Harvey and Anna Nalick.
And I just want to start by saying I want to thank everybody for listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show in the mornings. Appreciate that. Thank you much. Right on.
And I'd like to thank everybody for buying my album, Wreck of the Day, and helping it go gold.
Now, the key word is buying her albums. You're supposed to buy albums, buy CDs. None of that illegal downloading. You will go to prison. You're going to jail, all of you. You'll be somebody's girlfriend before you know it. Remember, buy albums, radio should be free. Buy albums, radio should be free. That's the deal.
So, what about satellite?
No, don't worry about satellite. We don't make money on that. You just go roll these clips. You're tripping.
All right, so... unbelievable in terms of just the way it was represented. Clearly no mention of podcasting. And, you know, even though it was, I guess, humorous and somewhat tongue-in-cheek, there was definitely a lot of truth, a lot of bitterness, and a lot of irony in his statement. So I just wanted to share that with you and your listeners. And I will see you somewhere in or around or across the sound. Cheers.
Yo, man, thank you. I think whenever you need to get Steve Harvey to represent your industry, you're in trouble. I think that's really what it boils down to. But very interesting. Radio should be free. That's a slam at satellite radio. And buy albums. Don't download. What a conflicting message that is if you look at iTunes. Oh, well. That's okay. It's no problem. We still welcome anybody from the radio industry over to the light side of the equation. To wind it up for today, as promised, just have one bit on shaving. This is some more history here. Who is this from? James East. He saw some kind of television show. No, hold on a second. What's this? That's probably P-Dub. Let me just see. Okay, yeah, he's waiting for me to upload the show. He'll keep a light on, he says. Yeah, right on, P-Dub. Okay, the show was about product design. These two design guys decided to design the ultimate razor. They both visited a barber and a proper cutthroat shave with hot towels, all of that, and it was concluded that the straight razor is indeed a very good shave, but that it took a long time. The barber noted that the closeness of the shave came from the speed with which the blade is passed over the hairs. If you move the blade too slowly, it tends to pull the hairs out rather than cut them, which is painful. And having also pulled the hair up and cut it, it then retreats and ends up under the skin. Yeah, no kidding. Which then irritates the skin from underneath. So a quick movement with a sharp razor will cut rather than pluck and will not cause hair under the skin. So they went on to note, these two design guys, that a dry shave is not very close, and since there are no undulants or foams, it leaves the skin irritated. Gotcha. Let me see if there's any conclusion to all of this. So they have their brief to combine the closeness of the barber shave with the convenience of the electric shave. In order to produce the quick cut of the barber, they innovated a vibrating blade which perfectly performed many quick cuts per second. They built a prototype which proves that the principle is sound and designed the finished package, which also incorporates an integral moisturizer dispenser with one unit. The finished design resembles a normal safety razor with a battery in the handle and a bulbous bit behind the blade containing the reservoir of moisturizer. So he goes on to say, the show concluded with the two guys looking for financial backing for what seemed to be a pretty whizzy idea. He kept looking for it in the supermarket, and then, of course, it showed up, the M3 Power Razor by Gillette. So there's the history behind that, and I still haven't picked one up, but I will do so next trip to Sainsbury's. So it seems like that may be a piece of science that actually has some holds some water. Speaking of holding... some kind of barrage happened. I received email after email about No Holds Barred Radio, which I am subscribed to. The shows are rather long. I have to get into the vibe, so it's coming from a college. I think it's been around for a number of years, so it's probably a college radio show that may have been streamed and is now a podcast. But it definitely has an active force of listeners out there, which is will definitely catch your attention. And for some reason, along with it came the request to play a song from the PodSafe Music Network from a guy called Kevin Reeves. I'm not quite sure if there's a connection between the two, but if the show is any good as the song that's being recommended by these people, consider me subscribed. This is Shine from music.podshow.com. Kevin Reeves on your daily source code.
I've been sitting here for so long. I've got the music, but I just ain't got the song. Oh, I feel so dead inside. Tell me if I'm fine. 'Cause I really wanna shine. Oh, I really wanna shine. I don't think that I can find a song that's true than mine, so I can shine. Cold, lonely time. Well, I keep on making up reasons why I just can't find the rhyme. Oh, I know something's gotta give. There's something deep down inside of me that's been dying just to live. But I feel it underneath my skin. Time.
Kevin Reeves from the PodSafe Music Network. Shine. Fan-frickin-tastic. I think I'm going to open tomorrow's show with that song. That's great. Hey, listen, thank you very much for staying with me if you listen to the show all the way up to this point. Cathartic for me. Good to get a load off my chest and share some stuff with you, and which includes the music. I love sharing that with the listeners. I love your feedback. Appreciate all the work on the show notes. And hold on a second. There we go. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll have the Friday edition of the Daily Source Code. Take care, everybody.
Another Pod Show podcast. Stick it in your ear.